inspiration. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. In it we find life. We just thank you for your Saviour Jesus. Please help us this morning as we look at those temptations. Please speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series in big moments in Jesus' life. And today, obviously, it's his temptations. And what Luke seems keen to do is for us to get exactly who Jesus is, so that there's absolutely no confusion whatsoever. Last week we saw Jesus at his baptism, that he was confirmed Son of God by the voice and the Spirit. And as to his ancestry, he was son of Adam. So human and divine. Not one without the other. Truly man, but not merely man. You might find it helpful to have your Bibles open. I think it was page 62. So Jesus, Son of God and Son of Adam, is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Eat nothing. Verses 1 and 2. That's a serious ordeal, which the clip really highlighted, didn't it? It's a lot of time. It's a lot of preparation. And then at his weakest, physically, he's tempted spiritually. And the first temptation is significant. The devil says to Jesus in verses 3 and 4 there, can you see it? If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Tempted to eat. Takes us right back, doesn't it? Can you make the connection? Did you see the apple hanging from the tree? Right back into the garden where the first Adam faced a similar temptation but gave in. Would this, the final Adam, succeed? Because at the heart of this temptation is who Jesus is. If you are the Son of God, then. Now it's not the sort of thing that the first Adam or us would face as a temptation. But for Jesus, it was absolutely critical. Precisely because he did have that power to turn stone to bread. But Jesus had determined to live as a man, live as the son of Adam. And he wasn't going to use his power for his own gratification. He was going to trust God, his provider and his sustainer, out in that wilderness. He wasn't going to bend. And interestingly, Jesus counters the devil with scripture in verse 4. It is written, man, humankind, shall not live by bread alone. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, that if we're to live truly human lives, that is, to live the way God really intends, then there must be more than just the material to consider. Life is more than materialism. And our secular, materialistic 21st century Britain doesn't get it. The spiritual side of the human being, our spiritual welfare, as human beings, is airbrushed from our society. all but banned from the marketplace, if you like. I don't know if you remember those Chilean miners stuck in their mine for ages. They fed what mattered. They asked for Bibles. They held prayer meetings. They committed to Jesus. They emerged from that mine, changed men, wearing T-shirts over their overalls saying, "Thank you, Lord." Many kneeling to pray as they emerged. Though you would never have known that if you'd watched the BBC coverage. We're made for relationship with God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, says Matthew's account. And the example of our Lord is clear. Will we feed our souls with his word? Will we fellowship with him? Be obedient to his word? Adam disobeyed God's word, and he quickly found that it wasn't life and freedom of choice, but rather death and slavery. But Jesus humbly submits to the written word. It stands written. Will we? And what his first temptation did was test Jesus' faith. Faith that God himself would provide for his son. Jesus overcame the first hurdle. Now, the second. Verses 5 to 8. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it's been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him and serve only him." You know, the devil tries a different tack now. It was all about authority. The authority the devil has. He reckoned he has all authority and can give it to Jesus. And it seems like that, doesn't it? That evil, the devil, is in control of our world. You just have to open the newspapers. It seems like that. Humans desperately trying to control everything and have done down the ages and failing miserably. Who is in control? Satan? God? Humans? Where is God? What is he doing? Why do you let this happen, God? We hear, or may even ask ourselves. If you're all powerful and in control of all things and have all authority, then sort it out. Our lack of faith effectively says, "You know what, God? If I was running the world, I'd do a whole lot better job than you would." But we can't. Human beings can't. And Jesus' test here is this. Will he, as Son of God, trust God alone as the moral governor of the universe? And is he going to trust God's promises? What promises? Well, if we look at Daniel chapter 9, and there's some funny stuff in there. It talks about beasts, but that's the devil and his lot. They've been given authority by God. So listen, as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a son of man, Jesus, coming in the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, to God, and was presented before him. To him, to Jesus, was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Jesus will have all authority. That's God's promise, the Ancient of Days. Will Jesus trust him? Will he stand on God's promise? Because the devil's authority has been given to him by God. Now, that's hard to take, isn't it? But in the end, it will be removed, and the Son of Man will have authority, all authority. And then all things will be set to rights. Satan wanted Jesus to recognize him as the authority which can't be overcome. But again, he quotes Scripture. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, why does that matter? Well, if Jesus believed that Satan was the authority and not God, wouldn't he have avoided the cross at all costs? But no. He trusted his governor and provider, even to the horror of the cross, which actually becomes our salvation. God in control. And Jesus now faces his final temptation in verses 9 to 12. And it's sort of like this. Okay, Jesus, I get that you're not going to be moved. You're determined to trust God's promises, written in his word, and to obey him. So, verse 9, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Do it, Jesus! It's written. It'll be okay. Trust the scriptures. You trust the scriptures, don't you? What a subtle temptation. Ever so subtle. That's the nature of temptation, isn't it? You know, we're both in love. We love each other. Love is always good. We're happy. What can be wrong with that? Never mind the fact that you've got a wife and two kids at home. Ever so subtle. Trust Scripture then, Jesus. Jump. The Scriptures say, be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Jump, Jesus. Step out in faith. But Jesus sees right through this deception. You see, it was actually the reverse. It would have demonstrated the opposite. Lack of trust in Jesus. Lack of trust in God. It would tempt Jesus to abuse his position as God's son. There was one motive to jump, and it wasn't to obey God. It was to test him, to see if he would keep his promise. And sometimes we put God on some kind of probation, don't we? See if he'll do our bidding or not, rather than just trust him. So if Jesus had jumped, it would have forced God to act, to avert a disaster, or to be accused of being unfaithful. Jesus will have none of it. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Victory again for Jesus. And all the devil actually does is prove that Jesus really is the Son of God. He then retreats and waits for an opportune moment, thinking his murder at the cross is his victory. But no, even that is under the governor of the universe's purposes. And Jesus will continue to trust God. Whew. There's loads here, isn't there? Loads. And lots of obvious challenges for us. Let's follow the Lord's example. We'll never have the answers to everything. We'll never ultimately fathom his purposes. Let's trust his promises and obey his word in the face of even our uncertain world, realizing that he is God and not us. And his promises will never fail, even in the face of death. It is written.